RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Easter Bonnet Val and
Every time you say stuff like that, I picture it in my head. I picture you sitting there because I'm looking at you right now.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? I was just before as I called you up, I was watching In Your Easter Bonnet between Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. From the Easter Parade, and I tweeted it out, so now it's in my head. And I just love it's. Let me tell you something right off the bat. I don't know how it is. We always compare the weather over here in New York and North Carolina, South Carolina, right?
Yes, we do.
A Carolina, we always do that. And today is as beautiful as some of the Easter mornings I remember in my childhood in like the early 90s.
I remember those days.
Those early 90s, bright, sunny, crisp, cool Easter Sundays.
It's like just the perfect temperature where it's not too cold and it's not too warm. Just so everyone knows, again, we're talking on Sunday. We're recording on Easter Sunday because I have to take, you know, Mr. Beans to the oral surgeon tomorrow to have his wisdom tooth removed.
Yep. Happy Easter. Now comes out your wisdom tooth.
I know. It's so weird. He's 40. Sorry. Anyway, no. So poor guy. I feel horrible for him. So we'll take him in tomorrow morning. But we're recording today on Easter Sunday, and I just finished the most beautiful outdoor Easter egg hunt. It was really nice.
Who was the big winner today?
My little nephew. He won.
Very nice. And no hard feelings?
No.
Among all the cousins?
No. You know, because the cousins are 14 and 11, and he's 2, so there's really no competition.
Oh, so everybody was saying, hey, over there.
Yes,
over
there. Exactly.
Yeah.
Look the at Easter that egg one. Hunt. Then, you know, we did our Easter egg hunt, too. And, you know, it's funny because people are going to say, you have no idea, Frank, how many messages. I'm just going to shut my window real quick. Hold on. There's my neighbors are out, and I don't want them to hear my podcast like that. You have no idea how many people reach out and say how dyeing Easter eggs and hiding them is like a pagan tradition. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know the whole
Ishtar.
Yes. So I know the whole story behind all this, you know, blood and the eggs and all that nonsense. I know. But it has become tradition, so this is what we do. And now am I warm? Am I hot? This is too hard. I can't find the last one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you think about that. This is rife with pagan traditions and roots. It's like, yeah, well, I'll tell you something. When you see 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old children running around and they're complaining about how they can't find the light. There's nothing ritualistic about this. I'll tell you that the complaining and nobody. It's just one of those things. I don't know. Everything borrows from everybody, especially when it comes to the social side of holidays and whatever. But it's always cool to know hidden histories and be a little bit more. Walk with the cultured class and understand where things come from. But Easter is obviously a very holy day, and I don't think that is lost on most people who take it seriously. It's very easy to get lost in Christmas. Very easy to get lost in Christmas. I think I would have to imagine that less and less people actually reflect on what Christmas is all about because it's a lot harder to commercialize Easter.
Yeah, it is. It is.
A lot harder, you know.
But it is a beautiful day when you think about it for so many people, including myself. I took some silent reflection this morning, and everybody here is going to church for the most part. They will worship from 6 feet apart from one another, and they will do it in peace. Unlike in some other places, like, what was it? Where was
Everywhere.
It?
There's so many places.
There was a judge that just stepped in this morning or yesterday, I'm sorry, to bar the governor of Louisville, Kentucky, or the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, I should say, for saying that they would, and this is the thing, this was going to be drive-through service. So people are going to drive there, stay in their cars, and worship from their cars at the church, okay? They were going to go down there and jot down everybody's license plate and then prosecute them after. Now, I've been of the mindset, you tell me if you agree with this, Frank. The way that the government has handled this, so the federal government has given their guidelines, right? And they've mainly left these decisions up to the states. They've said, you know, individual states are taking their individual approach. They know much better. And this is exactly what they said. President Trump said they know much better what's going on in their local area than the federal government could, which is perfect.
See, and this is why I really do give him so much credit. Because I understand what he's – and I don't – please don't lose your train of thought. But I had to just – before I lose mine. Go ahead. I give him so much credit for how he has handled much of this. Because, yeah, we know, A, there's no saving our currency. There's no – what's going on with the shutdowns and all that stuff. He's leaving it to the states. The states are acting the way they want. And we're seeing a lot of economic devastation because of it. I don't know how – the approval ratings for governors like Cuomo and Newsom and everybody are going through the roof with the kind of authoritarianism that has been shown. But, you know, the president has committed to federalism on a lot of this. And with a lot of other things, it's lip service, a lot of other things. He's just going along to get along when it comes to the massive amounts of spending. If he didn't do stuff like that, you know, it politically – It's a poison egg. So, it's just what it is.
So he was between a rock and a hard place. I think that's obvious now, right?
Rock and a hard place with a lot of things. But as far as him really committing to the federalist approach on this, I can't give him more credit.
No, it's amazing the way they've handled it. And they haven't mandated crap. They have not said you must do this ever.
Right. It's just CDC recommendations. That carries as much legal authority as a Supreme Court opinion.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it doesn't matter what kind of an opinion the Supreme Court has for example, healthcare, things like that. It doesn't matter how they see the word state or how they interpret things and how they give an opinion. If it's against the 10th Amendment, if it's against the constitutional order of things, states have a responsibility to defy it, and because it's not law. You know, you don't make – so it's been good. The CDC are giving recommendations. You know?
Yes. So the CDC is giving their recommendations. Then it's down to the local governments to do what they're doing or whatever they want to do, right? So some governors and some mayors and some state officials have been taking this to a ridiculous, disgusting, authoritarian end. Idaho, Michigan, New York, Louisville, Kentucky, of all places, for goodness sake. So there's that. Now, people in my state, it hasn't been really all that bad. It's bad, but it's not as bad as a lot of other places. Like, non-essential businesses are shut down. But you can go to the grocery store, you can buy your seeds, you can buy yourself a board game, you can get whatever you want. You're not limited to what somebody else deems essential supplies.
And that's the thing right there. Now people are taking it upon themselves to deem what goods are essential. Like, well, Chris, go ahead.
What's the point of this, though, Frank? What's the difference if somebody goes into the store to buy a nail polish remover versus an onion? I mean, what's really the freaking difference?
Chris Ann Hall has been putting together a really great compilation of these headlines on her Instagram. Here's a few of them. This is Business Insider for a day or two ago. Walmart, Costco, Target are banned from selling non-essential items such as clothing and electronics in parts of the U.S.
Here's
another one. There's pictures over here from other stores, grocery stores, that have had police caution tape draped across entire seeds, not nutrient seed, not like vegetable seeds, but entire portions of department stores that have annuals and perennials, flower seeds. You're not allowed to go near those because it's not essential. You don't need to be planting flowers right now. Here's another one. Despite COVID-19 restrictions, there's other things, people defying it. Here we go. at least 16 curfew violations arrests, a curfew violation arrests made across Miami Day. That's yesterday, April, or 2 days ago, April 10th. So
let me just get this straight. They're arresting people violating the curfew to put them in the jails where they're letting out the criminals.
Yes, they're letting out criminals to keep people inside.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So we're crossing into crazy town now. It took a long time. I really was expecting this to happen sooner, but it's almost like they wanted folks to get used to this, and then, yeah, you know, they're going to ramp it up. So this is the thing. Somebody was asking me, we needed to organize against this. We need to do something. You know, do it, Tracy. Organize something. And here's my view on it. This is several people that have come to me with this. You organize something. If you live in Florida or in Texas or wherever you are, or Idaho, wherever, and you feel strongly that your rights are being trampled on, me trying to organize a local protest in your state, because you can't do it nationally, because not everybody's going through that.
Yeah, everybody needs, instead of getting a couple thousand people together in Washington, D.C. for a day, everybody needs to start living a different life wherever they are in the country, and slowly start enrolling the support and the spirit of millions. It has to grow from somewhere. It can't be one day, one event in one part of an enormous country. And that's the whole thing here. Maybe on Easter, it's a great time to talk about resurrection and resurrection of spirit, especially our spirit over here of independence. Because, you know, there's this meme that Chris Ann Hall had actually shared, a day or two ago, and it was a picture of Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Okay. He actually has slipped into the role a little bit more than he thought he would these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they said it's him sticking his head out of the window from the opening scenes of Dumb and Dumber. He says, "I hope they allow us off lockdown by July 4th so we can celebrate our freedom." You know, This is what people need to understand. We are face to face with everything that people only said was a conspiracy theory. They are not rights if they could be taken away. They are privileges if they could be taken away. And I'm just waiting for the moment where it starts dawning on people that everyday resistance, real resistance, has to be a part of our culture again.
It needs to begin happening in places like that. You cannot look to someone else to do this for you. You can't.
Yeah. Miami-Dade County and places like that have got to be put under the microscope. And you know how? When they start arresting well-to-do, respected citizens inside of their communities, when people open up the local newspaper, or when people start texting and they start updating their Facebook about what's going on around town, and people start seeing that people they like, know, and that they know are good people are being arrested.
It's going to take mass. You're right. And it's going to take. Listen, you're going to learn real quick, if you do this the right way, how massive noncompliance on a grand scale renders them pretty much powerless. Stop listening to them. Stop.
Probably a couple of years ago at this point, we talked about maybe around Martin Luther King Day. Now, comparing Martin Luther King to Malcolm X is a no-brainer for me. I'm more so of a Malcolm X guy because of the ideas they're standing by. But as far as Martin Luther King's approach, as far as reconciliation versus revenge, yeah, the forced integration and all that other stuff that has spawned from that movement has not really panned out too much economically or anything else like that. The Great Society, all that. But as far as Martin Luther King Jr.'s his approach on the streets, it was amazing. You're talking about people getting together who are peaceful, nonviolent. And when you see those television cameras that are showing people who aren't doing anything being hosed down, having dogs sicked on them, it's very, very hard, for people to see how the state is in any way justified in what they're doing. So if on the other hand, you go on out there and you start – you see rioting. You see what's going – you see anything else. You know, people screaming, burn this bitch down in Ferguson and elsewhere. You start turning a lot of people off. And there's different things going on. So as far as the approach to right now, and everybody needs to be on this kind of a trip, you have to try to live your life as boldly as you ever did. And you know what? I mean, if you're in a position where you get taken in because you wanted to go out and get some fresh air or throw a ball around with your daughter in Colorado, like that father that got arrested in an empty park for having a catch with his daughter, his 6-year-old daughter, then you know what? Then make your local news, make the local news, for Christ's sake. Just do it. At this point, it's going to be necessary.
What's the difference? I mean, what are they really going to do to you? Really? You think half those charges are going to stand up once this thing is over and people bring constitutional attorneys in? No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And there's only going to be one chance, Tracy, for us to make a very stiff stand against there being a new culture, a new chapter of our culture written on this basis.
Where you are okay? This is not going to be a precedent. This is going to be it's got to be a one-time thing. We can never do this again like this. This is absolutely
never.
No matter what, like, honestly, this is it's un-American.
Yeah, for all the people who said we can't let Donald Trump's presidency be normalized, this is one thing we have to agree can never be normalized.
This is the one thing they love about Donald Trump's presidency.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you,
which is sick.
It's going to, listen, do it with some snark, okay? Arrange 100 or 200 of your community members, go out to a main road somewhere, bring a tape measure with you, tape off 6 feet apart from one another and form a line down the street as far as the eye can see. Give them a little FU while you do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are ways you can do this and, you know, start opening up your local businesses again.
Yeah.
You got to do it in your area, though. You got to do it. It's got to be local. It's got to be in your community. It has to be your community members getting together and making the decision to stand up against what you feel is not right. You know who's doing it, by the way?
Who?
Armand Bundy in Idaho.
Oh, really?
Daniel Babinski did a podcast interview with him yesterday. He had this big, like, rally, I guess you could say, 100 or one or 200 people showed up to it, and inside they were talking about their governor, Brad Little. They have a website, bradlittleisadisgrace.com. Brad Little is using the coronavirus to attack the constitutional rights of his citizens, as per this website, and they're looking for people to post their story. There's tons of stories on this website of people that were, you know, stifled by Brad Little. And then the letter goes right to him when you hit the button. So they're doing stuff around the country. People are starting to get fed up with it. It's April 12th today. We still have, it sounds crazy, but we still have 2 full weeks of this bull left.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Indeed. Indeed. And you know what? Have you noticed that our Surgeon General is pretty much Mike Tyson?
No. What do you mean?
Have you ever like just watch our Surgeon General talk about anything? I'm like, this what is this, Mike Tyson's little brother?
Why? Why do you say that? How so? Like,
he just got the thing. He just got the whole thing going. I don't know. Do it for granddaddy. Do it for big mama. You hear that? Do it for your pop. Stay inside. I'm looking at this. What the hell? You know, because we're learning. That's the one thing that this whole fiasco has really opened up the opportunity for is we're getting to meet all these new people that we usually don't ever talk to or hear from We usually don't hear from top virologists in the government and the heads of the CDC, and we don't have daily briefings by the Surgeon General. You know, the Surgeon General is usually just this afterthought. We hear about Surgeon General notices on cigarettes and cartons of tobacco, whatever the hell it is. And now all of a sudden these people are just in our face every day. So it's making me notice things about them.
Well, I don't like that stuff either. I don't like hearing from those experts that were not elected. One of the best performing tweets that I've had over the past couple of days was the one about Anthony Fauci saying we'll never shake hands again. We should never, ever shake hands again, ever.
I shook hands twice yesterday.
Good for you, because this is ridiculous. So I looked at Drudge Report, Frank, just to see what's going on.
Oh, God. Don't do it. I looked at it 10 minutes ago.
Peak death has gone from the front page. Peak death is gone.
Yeah, but you know what's there?
Death toll passes 20,000 in the U.S.
And then under that, what does it say?
Apple, Google plan to track infected. Fear of second wave in summer. Cities begin canceling 4th of July events.
Imagine that. So why are they talking fear of second wave if we are not on the other end of the first wave or something like that? So we're talking second wave now. If this was getting stale for you, don't let it be, because the second wave is coming. And then the other thing is Apple, Google plans to track the infected. Every day, Tracy, we talked about it all last week too. Every day there's a new conspiracy theory that is just fact.
Yes.
We're being tracked through our phones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and people are like, all like, how come you aren't? I'm like, I've known this for a decade. Like, this is not new to me. That's the thing. It's like, I've known this for so long. So a lot of people have. So it's like when it's coming out now, it's not like, oh my God, I was acting like that years ago and you guys were calling me crazy.
Yeah. That's why I think so many people in my life. Come on. Well, you know, it's a digital world, so there's a lot, but you know, we're not being tracked. I mean, okay. All right. If you can start, it's so funny because it's not like it's a very personal thing either. And I guess the scary thing is, especially when we look at all the Spygate stuff that's happening, once again, first of all, like we talk about FISA for a little bit.
Yeah.
With what's happening with the president and what we're learning about all the FISA stuff. And remember last week we got that those stories about the 29 FISA warrants that were analyzed that had nothing to do with the whole Russiagate nonsense, to see, just to put a little bit of perspective to it, maybe from there extrapolate out to how widespread the FISA lying and the corruption really was, with people just opening up warrants and spying on people with absolutely no reason. All these applications that were completely wanting in validity. There was no evidence. There was omissions of exculpatory evidence there, lying to judges, or judges are complicit if you want to get even more conspiratorial with it. Who the hell knows? All we do know is that the president of the United States, this happened to him. And if it could happen to him, imagine what could happen to any average person. If you become a nail that sticks out just a little bit too much and you get noticed.
Yep.
If you can get noticed in some way, then all of these Apple, Google plans to track the infected. I mean, all of our digital devices create a little bit of a pinprick on a larger map of the United States. And perhaps with all the millions of people using their phones, you can track herds of people as if they were swarms of bees. And maybe you or I, Tracy, show up as little pinpricks on those gigantic maps that they can digitize and track, like we're flocks of birds. But if those pinpricks become any louder or any bigger than the other pinpricks and they actually zero in on you, we know just how much they can dig up, because everything, every text that we didn't send is probably stored in some server underground in Utah somewhere with the NSA.
Well, this is
how dangerous.
That's the excuse that people make, too. They say like, oh, there's so much data, right? There's so much data. There's no way that they could drill down into it to be able to. But they have it. It still bothers me. I mean, what are we going to do? At this point, it's like, the problem is it took this long to get to critical mass with the population. So all this stuff has been going on already for years and years and years. All this stuff has been going on. They've been collecting data forever. It's all there. Everything is being done every day. There's really, I don't know how we'd ever stop it. It's going to take a lot.
And it's crazy because it's connected to 9/11. You know, you think about Patriot Act and you think about all of this data collection in the event to prevent terrorist attacks. And now it's being modified so that we're not only trying to prevent terrorist attacks, viruses. We're trying to prevent people from passing viruses along.
Michigan.
I was trying to use the word communicable, but it was.
Well, you did it successfully that time.
Yeah. How do you say it? Can you say I have? Yeah, but what if you say I have can you say I have communicated a virus?
No, I don't think so.
That's the problem I had encountered
in your
with
brain.
That sentence.
In just like a split second, I saw it.
I stopped. I had stopped. Said, "What the fuck am I about to?" Oh shit! Oh god! Sorry. Happy Easter. Easter. Sorry.
I love it. Oh Lord. Okay. What was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Data collection, FISA, Patriot Act.
Oh, we finally reached like a point of critical mass where like I think enough people are starting to understand what the hell's going on because, okay, so there's a movie that came out. It's very interesting, Frank. It's called Out of the Shadows. Out of Shadows. Have you ever seen it? It just came out.
I watched it last night.
You did?
I watched it last night, yes.
All right, I'm about 51 minutes in, so I still have about, 30 minutes or so, because it's an hour and 17 minutes long. So it's a lot of Kevin Shipp, and it's these two stunt guys who were in Hollywood that decided to make this movie about what Hollywood is all about, what Project Mockingbird is, blah, 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 blah. And there are 1.5 million views on this movie in a day, which to me, there is no way it's just people like us. It's got to be other people too. You know,
I'd say watch it before it has to be hosted on another platform. I can see this thing going away.
Yeah, because just to give you an idea, when I started watching this last night, there were 58,000 or 56,000 subscribers to this channel because I had it open in my phone. And then this morning, if I go to their homepage, there's 60,400 subscribers to the channel, which means that they're gaining like tens of thousands of subs overnight, which means that very soon YouTube, first of all, this video should be on their trending page with those views. Oh,
Tracy, I mean, did we talk about the demonetization that happened this week?
No.
It ties into this. You
yeah,
want to
sure.
talk about why videos are not going, videos that should be suggested or featured will never be.
There's by the way. Did you know that? There's a plugin now that you can remove all the mainstream media content from YouTube and only see the indies.
Ooh, give me that.
Yeah, I have it. I'll send it to you. It's a browser plugin, not a mobile plugin, but you can get rid of all the mainstream that you don't want to see and only be filtered back results from indies.
I on Monday, finally, I mean, I think I've been shadow banned in covert ways. I've been banned and stifled in covert ways, which I guess was what shadow banning is from the beginning. That's why when I hit 50,000 subscribers last week or the week before, that was really like my 150,000 subscribers party. That's how much it means to me.
Yeah, no.
As far as the currency 20. Rates.
No, I remember 20.
Yeah. Well, you were so instrumental to getting me to 10. You know,
that
was the
10.
Night we. Yeah, the 10,000 was the night that you and I were watching the State of the Union together.
Oh yes, that's right. Oh my gosh, it's been so long, Frank. You've done so much since then.
Well, either way, we're all dealing with the current state of things in a whatever way that it's been customized for us. But this is the first time I got swept up in a purge incident because I didn't have, you know, I wasn't part of the first two purges with YouTube. But this time I did get demonetized, so I can't take super chats anymore, which is a pretty.
Why?
I'll tell you. This is the worst part about it all. So on Monday, I get a email, which dozens of channels did, that my channel was demonetized. And now I don't collect AdSense because I use copyrighted music and I make sure that all my stuff is copyrighted for copyright or monetized for copyright holders. I would rather take the music than be any kind of dependent on Google AdSense, because I know what kind of a shifty platform and company it is. I'd rather just be dependent on people who really like the show and want to fund it. Well, that being said, I still lost quite a bit of monthly income from super chats. Super chats
people
that come
send
in
you super chats all night long on your show.
Well, yeah, and most people that go live, they do get a good amount of super chats. It's a great way to interact, even though Google takes 30% to 40% off the top. Mm-hmm. So it is highway robbery still, but it's a great way to fuel interaction, and it did pay for a lot of the bills at the studio. It's gonna suck seeing that go, but I don't care. I'm not going to appeal. I don't want it back because I don't want to be reliant on these people. I just don't. But I'll tell you what the scariest thing about this is, because there's a lot of other people who are reliant on it, and I don't fault them for just wanting to be able to come up with a business plan in their lives and capitalize on it without the fear of having some sort of corporate fascism come down, corporate censorship that comes down and overrides their rights to free speech and independence in this country, in a supposedly free country. I don't fault anybody for it. But we all got the same email. And the email said that your channel has been demonetized because you are it's for harmful content. Now, there was no details as to what videos were harmful, nothing, because all my videos in particular are public. Nothing has been banned. They're all public. Some of them are monetized for copyright holders when I use music. But they said that my channel covered controversial topics that could be harmful to viewers. That is as basic as it was. And then they gave me some trite comment about how they have to make hard decisions sometimes. That's it.
They're making a decision about what's harmful to people?
Yep. They said that my content and everybody else that got demonetized was harmful to viewers, and that's as much detail as we all got. That's it. And you would think, and the crazy thing about this is during a time of national lockdown, where you would think that if they were real humanitarians, they would allow people an opportunity to go and create digital content and make $50 more a month by actually loosening the way that people can collect money through AdSense, by maybe decreasing the cut that they take. This, we're talking about a $1 trillion operation, multi-billion-dollar at the least. Google, Alphabet, all of that stuff. You're talking about some of the biggest corporate conglomerates on the planet right now. You would think that in this time of need, they would want
people to have the right.
Exactly. And they would loosen things and they would say, okay, you know what? We're taking 30% off the top, on top of whatever state fees you have to incur, which is what makes it more like 40%. We're going to drop it down to 10. You can keep 20% more of what you make because we know how hard it is right now. They're taking away people's livelihoods for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same. It's the same reason why I don't know how far. Well, you said you're 50 minutes into that movie that came out.
I am 51 minutes and 56 seconds in.
Well, you're going to come to a part in that movie probably toward the end, or maybe right around the because it's only an hour and 17. So you're probably right around the time. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's so many poignant points that were made in that movie where you analyze Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, any of these celebrities out there that have tens, if not hundreds of millions of subscribers sometimes. And you compare that to the paltry reach that an MSNBC or a CNN or even a Fox has in comparison to it.
Do they get into Kanye in here? Because I'm waiting for them to talk about Kanye. Do they?
There's some Kanye West in there too. And It's just one of those things where we are more influential than all of the people that they say have the most legitimacy that should be followed. And this is the reason why this is why they want us choked off.
Yeah.
They want us to remain fringe, because in reality, the products that average people are creating is much more stimulating than the, you know, people call those pornographic film, the porn films with that, with the high budgets and whatever they call it, lipstick porn. You ever hear that?
No. No.
You know, that's before the days of free porn on the internet, where everybody just started filming themselves in their bedrooms and uploading it. And everybody's like, oh, you know what? This is a lot more voyeuristic and hot. Let's do it. You know, and it started cutting in on the big porn productions.
Oops.
That was, yeah, lipstick porn. That's exactly what's going on here with news now. You know, Don Lemon is lipstick porn.
Ooh.
That's what it is. No, people don't want that. You know, I hate to make such a crude comparison on Easter Sunday, but you know, it's the same exact. I was talking about it last night with Anthony and Mike. We were sitting in the backyard having a cigar, and we did a live stream, and we were sitting around the fire pit, and we were talking about this stuff, and how people like you and I, and many of the people that listen, so many of our friends out there that listen to the show, and we talk to, and we all contribute to each other's thought process and all of our threads, and it's really just been so awesome as a collective collective effort to see all of the way that modern and current events are broken down and analyzed, and how everybody contributes, even if what people contribute are ideas that may not pan out or are less logical than others. Everybody has a chance to contribute, which is why this is so dangerous. Because if you were to tell me, they're trying to tell us that the average person is not capable of having an epiphany in the comfort of their own home or while they're chopping onions in their kitchen at home.
Right.
You know, it is totally possible. And it's actually insane to say that the average person who is not going to CNN studios every night and getting dolled up and put in front of a camera is not capable of having an epiphany that actually makes sense of a senseless situation. And the fact that we live in a time that you can actually go and market that idea and see what comes back and bounce it off of other people in a really, really huge way internet.
I know. Look at what the doctor from New York did with his video about how to treat coronavirus. I mean, it's funny too, Frank, because they created the internet as a means of control in a way, right? The social media companies, all of it. And we've turned it around on them. And now they're trying to shut us up using the technology they created for us to be herded together.
The internet was more than – you can be as free as you want, talk about whatever you want, build whatever thread, anonymous thread you want on 4chan and 8chan. You can go off and do whatever the hell you want. And you can be as successful on YouTube as you'd like, as long as most people were still listening to radio and television.
Not
you know,
anymore.
You can go ahead, have fun in your little sandbox. You can be as free as you'd like. But now that people are paying attention to you more often, that they're tuning into you more often than all these cheesy cookie cutter network sitcoms at night, and nobody gives a damn about them anymore. Now they want to go after you, and they want to co-opt you, and they want to sponsor you.
Literally,
and then they want to build,
literally writing, you know, 1,000 words in NBC as a hit piece.
Yeah. It's remarkable what's happened, but at the same time, it should be encouraging.
Yep.
Because the only reason why we are here is because the tides have turned. You know, what is it? First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win.
Yeah. And when you really think about it, at the end of the day, like everybody out there in the audience, everyone who's doing this stuff, everybody who's in their local communities telling their friends about it, this is a collective effort. Like, seriously, media is changing, which is very, very scary to the powers, you know, that war or be or however you want to say it. They are going to lose their stranglehold on the American public and the people of the world. Like, looking at my website analytics now, I'm seeing like Australia, Italy, all kinds of different countries flocking to websites that are not just my, I mean, everybody that's telling the truth. It is a very simple concept. Just tell people the truth. No matter what, if it's hard, if it's easy, just tell people the truth. Very dangerous, but it's happening. Like, some of the people we've interviewed, Frank, probably never would have spoken to us 5 years ago.
Nope.
In a million, None. I mean, never.
No.
Like, you, some of the interviews you've done with folks, on your own. I mean, it's almost like sometimes I sit back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just interviewed a presidential historian for an hour that, like, you know, has written about presidents throughout history. Like, it's because of everything. It's because of everybody. It's because of the power in numbers, but because of individuality. It's so beautiful. And as much as we are in, like, this war right now against so many different things, we're doing such a good damn job. We really are.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it's only frustrating at times because more and more people understand why. More and more people see the strings attached to everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't – things were really not that much different, especially since 2001. You know, 9/11 being that watershed moment, it's almost like even though the 20th century was rife with problems, and that's where so much of our country was just given away to bad ideas, to faulty promises, all that stuff, to bad fiscal policy, foreign policy. The 20th century was a nightmare, even though socially we had booms and busts and ebbs and flows, and people had great times and bad times. Which is just that's just history. That's right. just the whatever. But as far as a watershed moment, it's like BC and AD.
Yes.
With 9/11.
Yeah.
BC and AD. And now I think that more people now see the strings attached. And that's why it's most frustrating because, you know, aside from your personal problems that most people don't like to bother everybody else with, they keep it to themselves. They struggle through things. They triumph through things. And you never know it. All those millions of individual stories of struggle and triumph. And now all of a sudden we realize what might be standing in our ways, at least in some respects, what is holding a lot of us back. And I mean, ourselves. For example, ourselves and also the regulatory powers that be and those people who have been studying mind control. They have been studying how to infect the culture. What you're watching right now, that documentary that just came out, it really just harkens back to all of the studying
yep.
of human nature that people have been embarked on to make sure that they can persuade us to do what they want us to do, to live like they want us to live. That keeps us compliant, that keeps us generating money for them, and also that keeps us scared to defy any other version of reality. And that's...
They didn't bank on people finding out about it, though.
Or they banked on people being completely brought under the heavy hand and the thumb of their worldview before a critical mass had woken up, which is why the acceleration is so great right now, because they're actually behind schedule. I believe they're behind schedule.
They're not really behind schedule. It's just that we got there faster than they had anticipated.
Perhaps, yes. I think that's actually a better way of looking at it.
And I know, like, to some people out there, this stuff might sound a little crazy, but it's true. It is.
Can't be crazy.
True.
It can't be crazy anymore.
No, because, I mean, you just have to look around yourself. If you're listening to this podcast, you're not still sleeping. Look around. Look around.
Yeah, look at the front page of the Dumpy Drudge Report. That is stuff that would have gotten you called a kook 7 years ago. Yeah. They're tracking us to our phones. Okay, we're pinpricks on a digital map now. We're like flocks of birds. They're tracking our migration patterns.
September 11th, 2001 was the day that changed my life. Not just because of what happened, but because I started looking at the world differently. Woke me up. Oh, goodness. I was 21. 21 years old. Just looking around like, this can't continue. We have to stop this. We have to stop it. This can't continue. And it was a hard, really hard 15 years, 14 years. Because, like you said, Frank, mocked, ridiculed, called crazy, you know, cast aside. It just they made movies about the crazy conspiracy theorist standing there with all the traps outside his door. And you know what I mean? Like they mocked you when you thought these things. They mocked you. We played the clip of that show from back in the day, Frank. What was the name of it? You had me play on the podcast that day where the guy was in the police station trying to warn them about, it was an old show. It was an old show you had.
Oh, Barney Miller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Barney Miller.
And
that's, yeah.
And so now this quickly. So we get to 2015 and President Trump decides to run for president, right? And people start to see what the hell is going on. And then over the next, from 2015 to 2020, so I would say about 5 years, the pace at which people have opened up their eyes to look around at the world and see what's actually going on has exponentially grown. Because I'm looking at the previous 13, 14 years, Frank, and then the 5 years we've just been through. And so when people say it's taking so long, you don't understand what the last 14 years were of this. Like, I was an activist the entire time. This is where we're at right now. When you look at it from in terms of how many people are awake and aware and listening and paying attention and being active and sharing information, exponential growth in the best possible direction. It is beautiful. And that's why I don't get upset, because I see the difference. I see the change. And it is not going to stop. It's just going to get bigger. So it's a huge responsibility for me personally. And I'm getting a little emotional, which is crazy. But in my opinion, what I'm doing that people have, for some reason, found attractive and started to, you know what I mean? They're searching for something and I'm providing a service that they enjoy, right? It is more important to me than anything I've ever done in my entire life, ever. Because we're all changing history together. You know, we could have gone a completely different direction, but we forced the issue and here we are. We didn't have to vote for President Trump in numbers so big they couldn't swing it. They couldn't cheat. Too many people. So It's just an amazing time to be alive. As sad as things seem sometimes, how as downtrodden as they seem, the progress we're making as a society is so beautiful and wonderful, and we need to keep going. That's what I gotta say.
I agree. And I do have some more really, I have another great Easter story for everybody if you want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Here's from thedailystar.co.uk. Headline, lesbian admits she's been having sex with male roommate while in lockdown.
Oh, God.
Subheadline, the woman doesn't know if she will revert to same-sex relationships when the lockdown is over in New York City.
You mean she likes
it. It's a tremendous Easter miracle. A woman has shared her experience of sex in lockdown with The World in a magazine, and it's not what you might expect. The woman submitted her story to Slate magazine as part of her coronavirus diary series. The magazine documents the effects of corona pandemic on everyday lives. In the dispatch, an anonymous woman admitted that despite being a lesbian, she has been having sex with her male roommate during lockdown. She wrote in her story that she hasn't had sex with a man in 3 years. The woman had come out to her mother at the time and began living her life as a lesbian. And she's been having a good time.
She was just upset that some man screwed her over and decided she wasn't.
Exactly. Listen, I know that there are plenty. I know human sexuality is one of those things that people. It's a deep, deep ocean, and they're in. You know what arouses a person is what it is, and I know that that happens naturally since the dawn of man. But I can't tell you. I can't tell you. How much daddy issues there are in lesbian circles. I have so many lesbian friends over the years, and I've just taken little observations there. And I always wonder to myself, how much is this really contributing to it? There's so much daddy issues going on there. I wouldn't be surprised. Really just wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's crazy that you say that, because all of the friends that I know, like that are my girlfriend, which are very, I don't have very many friends. I really don't. But the couple from college that became lesbian all had problems with their dad. All of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. I think there's just a lot of I think there's a lot of, you know, trauma plays a role in there.
Well, I don't have any other. The only thing I want to do before we leave today is I put up a tweet about Easter. I said, on this Easter, it'd be great if we could all share some laughter and hope, share some positive and uplifting stories on this thread. I do not know what is here. I'm just going to read them out.
Hope for the best. Let's do it.
Okay, Yankee Cowgirl. Yankee Cowgirl, which is spelled C-O-W-G-Y-R-L, says, I've cleaned out every closet I own, and my friend Pam's husband is going to live thanks to the meds. Oh, going to live, thanks to the meds Trump was pushing. And I scored 3 Cadbury eggs, 1 for each kid for Easter. Okay. Someone said, had a dream I was getting my hair done, not normal hair lady, by a lady in a clown costume. I didn't like how she was doing it, and my hairdresser came in to take over. I said, it's like a clown was doing my hair. I meant clown as in they sucked, but it was a real clown. Okay? Restaurant owner I know is losing money every day, but refuses to close his doors for to-go orders because he wants his employees to have a paycheck. This is probably a common story nationwide right now, but it's very inspiring to see someone sacrifice for those who need more. Amen to that, yet 4-12-20, where are the arrests? Where is the announcement of one deep state traitor or corrupt politician being made accountable for their crimes? I'm going to be a grandmother for the first time. I have three cats, my older daughter's cat since July, and my younger daughter's two cats. During our early spring vacay out west, the water main under our house failed. One bathroom is being remodeled. New shower panel arrived damaged. So more delays. Thanks, COVID. That was not an uplifting story. Okay, we're done.
Yes.
Fane's 8th birthday. Happy birthday, Fane. Yeah, I have a parakeet pushing a tricycle.
I've seen that one.
You have? My kids are counting their little wrapped chocolate eggs to make sure they got equal amounts in their baskets. My husband, how did we raise Democrats?
How did this happen?
Abbott is drafting an executive order to reopen the Texas economy and could serve as a blueprint for the rest of the states. Good for Abbott.
Good.
That's it. That's all I got. There's some pictures of dogs and chalk on driveways. And I don't understand the people who... Oh, in North Dakota, our governor declared the Easter Bunny an essential worker.
It is essential. But you're not allowed to buy flower seeds, though, so...
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Saul shared a meme. I love Saul. Saul memes. That's it. Oh, someone's outside singing. Amelia Kate singing Easter version of Hallelujah brings joy to neighbors. You've been listening.
Did a great job today. Yeah, Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, everyone, even though we're a day late. You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Easter Bonnet Val and...
Beans! You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Later.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Hey, everybody. This week on Duffified Live, we've got a chef. Yep. We got a chef. His name is Mike Harris, and Mike used to be with McDonald's. So I got a pretty good feeling we're going to get some secrets.
You know, when I worked for McDonald's, I spent more time behind mirrored glass serving consumers stuff. And some of the things I would hear like would destroy my brain. So like I'm a certified barbecue judge, and I do like KCBS barbecue competitions on the side.
Okay.
So we were doing some kind of barbecue burger or chicken or whatever it was, and I made this banging barbecue sauce that, like, you know, people on the circuit would be like, this is legit. This is how you do it. So I serve a bunch of McDonald's consumers this, and they're like, what is this? Why can't you just put the McRib sauce on everything? Oh, like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? So, and once again, it's like, okay, that is the consumer base.
Three other guys in white chef coats are holding you back. Like, you're getting ready to start banging on the mirror.
It happens every time. This was, and like 4 years ago, like, hey, let's do sriracha. And there are consumers out there who still have no idea what sriracha is. They haven't even heard of it. There are so many consumers that are not, you know, foodies or on social media. Like, a majority of Americans don't really care. And I wouldn't say don't care, but are not, like, that's not their thing.
It's just not.
But
sure.
Then you have a good vocal minority who kind of help get the trends going and things like that, as far as, you know, high-end restaurants getting new ingredients and how that trend curve happens in our society. It was interesting to be in that big machine like McDonald's in my previous life, but I definitely can do both sides. So depending on who my customer is, I have to know, make things for them and not assume that they want my awesome creation.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.